It is the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you for listening to the show. You can consider this halftime of the show. 2 hours down, two more to go. That means the show gets started at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific, every single weekday. We've had a fun show so far, too. Thank you so much to Zach Stevens from DNVR Sports. He came through to talk to us about Bo Nix and his standing with the Denver Broncos. It looks like he's going to be named the starter for Sean Payton's team sooner than later. Brian Flores says he has learned from his experience with Tua Tagovailoa. Tua Tagovailoa told the world yesterday that Brian Flores basically said, "You suck," and told him that every day. What a nice thing to tell somebody. We heard from Tom Brady. Tom Brady thinks the current development of young quarterbacks, he thinks the development sucks. Miller Moss is going to be starting for USC. What a surprise. Not at all. Caleb Williams is gone. Kyler Murray supposed to look good for the Arizona Cardinals. Give me a reason to watch. Just see what him and Marvin Harrison can do. Brandon Ayuk, no new contract. CeeDee Lamb, no new contract. What else is new? We'll keep you up to date there. And how about this? In 20 minutes from now, with all the quarterback talk in the NFL, we're going to be joined by a former NFL quarterback. Steve Berline is going to join us. Remember, he was on the Cowboys. He also was on that Carolina Panthers team when they were getting rolling. And now he is about to be a new radio analyst for the Dallas Cowboys. And so a lot of questions for a man who knows about throwing a football. Steve Berline is going to come through and join us in about 20 minutes. That will be a fun conversation. If you want to be a part of the conversation here on the JR Sport Brief Show, you can do so. It's real easy. The phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. This is not something I ever thought I'd talk about. And we talked about Aaron Judge hitting home runs, and we've had a fun show. I try. In 2028, we're going to have flag football in the Olympics. No breakdancing, none of that stuff or whatever the hell we saw from that Australian lady. You don't have to worry about a repeat on that. Is she gone? And she asked to never be reached out to again on social media, so maybe she's disappearing. But we're going to have flag football. And we've already seen NFL players show interest in flag football. I mean, Jalen Hurts is in a commercial helping to promote it. Come on now. We got other guys like Tyreek Hill who say that they want to be down. Even Joe Burrow. He was on Pardon My Take, and he's just like, yeah, man, there's a lot of NFL guys. We want to play flag football in the Olympics. We want a gold medal. Listen.
I really want to play for the Olympic flag football team, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Like me, Jamar, Justin.
Now you're just naming your friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me and my friends out there playing flag football.
Well, it's funny because like, if Joe's a guy that could be like, yeah, me and like my best friends could beat anybody in the world in football.
That's true.
Which is a cool thing to say.
That's a very cool thing to say.
I think it'd be really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you can do it. We can't lose the gold medal the first time that we have that in the Olympics. No. It just can't happen.
That would be embarrassing.
Okay. Not exactly the same thing as NFL football, but I would think for a game that is here from here. I mean, who else plays? Hickey, help me out. Am I missing something? Who the hell else plays American football? Who does this? Who cares to play?
Canada.
Okay, let's move away from us. Anybody else?
I think there's like a league in Ireland, maybe, or Germany. Isn't there like some sort of European? Maybe Australia. I'm just grasping at straws at this point. I'm trying.
Who is the best German football player in Germany? Name him.
A guy in the Colts? Well, he's Austrian. Bernard Ryman, the left tackle, is from Austria.
No, I didn't say from.
I'm trying.
Let's name some other leagues, okay? I mean, if you were to ask me about the next baseball, I could name like four or five baseball leagues, right? Okay. And the league in Japan is sponsored. What is it? NHK and something like that. You can go to Korea. Like, I can start naming baseball leagues after, you know, the MLB, right? And basketball. I can start naming other leagues in basketball, okay? Italian league, Euro league. I can name a lot of stuff. There's no other NFL, man. The closest you can get is probably the CFL that you mentioned. Like, where are we getting all these teams from? And so I know it's not the NFL. This is flag football. Lo and behold, our old arrogant American asses, Hickey, could you imagine us being so arrogant with flag football, thinking that it is almost exactly like, traditional football? We end up playing, I don't know, like, I'll pick a country, Argentina, and they whoop our ass. Could you imagine that?
That would go down easily as the most embarrassing international loss in the history of sports. Easily. Forget about the Russia-USA 1972. Easily. There's nothing worse.
Wow. And so here's the deal. You just heard Joe Burrow say, yeah, I want to get my college buddies together, all my LSU people, and let's just play flag football. There's a man who helped, and where this league is and what have you, I've never heard of it. Darryl Doucette. He's the current starting quarterback for USA Flag Football. He sat down or did an interview with The Guardian, and he basically said that NFL players, thinking that they can just wake up and walk and play on the 2028 Olympic Flag Football team, the idea is disrespectful. Now, let me tell you something. Darryl Doucette, he didn't play college football. He played flag football at Xavier University just north of New Orleans, okay? This man didn't play football, hasn't played football in the NFL, but he has won a gold medal at the 2022 World Games. He was MVP when Team USA went perfect 7-0, winning the America's Continental Championship last year, and he says, we just don't think they're going to be able to walk on the field and make the Olympic team because of the name, right? They still have to go out there and compete. Now, let me tell you something. If Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow and Tyreek Hill and Justin Jefferson say they want to play flag football, who's telling them no? In all actuality, right now, it's been reported, the NFL and the NFL Players Association, like, they're having conversations about the feasibility and the viability of NFL players going and playing in the Olympics. Like, why wouldn't the NFL want to be involved in this? Is a moneymaker. The NFL is trying to become an international game. I mean, we're opening up the season in Brazil. We're sending games out to Germany and Spain and Mexico and London and not just London, all over the UK. You think the NFL is going to look at Darryl Doucette and just say, yeah, man, you could be on the team too. Maybe he could, but as a backup. And yeah, the rules are different. I don't even know. Who the hell's playing defense? I don't know. Hickey, this is an interesting one. I feel bad for the guy because he's competed for Team USA and he's been a part of this, and he's going to get shoved to the side, and that's just life?
Yeah, I mean, I don't feel bad for him, to be honest with you.
Damn, wow.
It's life, and what you're doing is not that much different than, like, I don't care. Sure, maybe some of the rules are different. I have no doubts Joe Burrow, Jalen Hurts, whoever wants to come in and play in flag football, I have no doubts they'll be able to adjust to the slight rule differences from NFL to flag football. And it goes back to kind of, you know, having some of these big stars on Team USA for basketball. Like, you want people to watch? I can promise you this. I will not be watching flag football if Darryl Doucette is playing quarterback. There's no shot in hell. If Joe Burrow is playing, I am all in. If Jalen Hurts, Tyreek Hill, like, if these stars are playing in the Olympics, I am watching every second of every game. If his teammates are playing, miss me. I'll watch swimming.
This sounds like it could be the origin story of a villain. Like, this goes back to the first thing that I said. You get all these NFL players and you throw them onto a field and they're out of their element and they're playing flag football and they lose. What the hell is Darryl Doucette saying after the fact? If I were him, I'd write a book. I'd write a book afterwards, and the book would be called Kiss My Ass. I would. I would write a whole book like, this is what you get for being disrespectful. I don't know. Look, Team USA, and he's okay, and I don't know nothing about these leagues. So I couldn't tell you where to find, what is this thing called? The America's Continental Championship. Like, I couldn't tell you where to find that. Now, Darryl Doucette has competed in some of the NFL competitions surrounding the Pro Bowl and what have you. So he does have some type of experience. I don't want to say being around these players, but he does. Now, he went a 7-0. He went 7-0 in winning the America's Continental Championship. So obviously we have a good team already. Why couldn't we just keep that rolling? I don't know. I don't know. You kind of cold hearted on this one, man. Like, he's played his whole life. This man did not play in college. He did not play in the NFL. He's representing Team USA. And now he just has to get moved out the way because Joe Burrow wants to play. Joe Burrow can't be, what's the word here? He can't be empathetic to this man. Not at all. Let him get his glorified moment. Joe Burrow's making 50 plus a year. You can't let this man, you got to get a gold medal too. You have to have that.
I mean, why not?
Oh, damn.
It's a different experience. Like, I'm sorry that I guess you chose a profession in which there, I mean, you could be replaced. Like, it's the same game. You're playing the same game. If you want to play football and be the star, go play in the NFL. Go play real football. I'm sorry. That's
real football.
Play real football. I hate to say it. Flag football is what you play for an IM and when you're a younger kid and with your friends, you don't want to get hurt. No problem with it. It's not a profession.
Now, you understand that one day, I don't know, me and you might be gone by then. The NFL might be some version of flag football. You get that, right?
That's okay.
They might have sensors on them, and you got to tackle the guy, and you know the sensor will go off, and now he's down. We might be 100 years, 150 years away from that. I have no idea. Maybe sooner. But this is kind of where the league is going. I mean, this is what they're doing. Isn't what they're doing in a Pro Bowl now? You got to grab a guy's towel or flag? Isn't that what it is?
Yeah, I think they did. Well, I think they've gotten away at the game overall, and maybe it is. I don't even know if they play flag football. Maybe you're right. I don't know. Pro Bowl's a different story. But like, even to your point, let's just say the NFL, I don't know, in 100 years from now is flag football. You know, is Darryl Doucette starting on a flag football team, or is Joe Burrow going to be starting that flag football team?
In 100 years?
Yeah, well, the equivalent. Joe Burrow the third at this point.
Well, Darryl Doucette will have a job? I mean, come on. I'm just saying. We don't know. I don't know. This guy, look, Hickey, in preparation for this segment, I saw his highlights. The man can throw a football. A lot of people can throw a football.
I mean, that's it.
He can. Can he throw a football with a 300-pound guy trying to kill him? I don't know about that.
Huh? Maybe you should listen to Jameis Winston. Remember Jameis Winston left the Buccaneers and they signed Tom Brady? And Jameis Winston took it as a compliment because they replaced him with the GOAT? Yep, maybe Darryl Doucette could feel the same way. Hey, I would have been on the roster, but Joe Burrow, at that point, the reigning MVP, who knows, Super Bowl winner, wanted to play.
Yeah. No, this is like natural selection, right? This is just what it is. This is like watching National Geographic. Bunny rabbit going for rabbits drink water. Yeah, of course they do. Everything drinks water. Hickey, have you seen a snake drink water?
I have not. I can't say I've ever seen a snake drink out of like a watering hole.
It's random, but yeah, snakes drink water. This is like...
just in case there's any doubters out there.
It's like a rabbit going to just get some water. I don't know where rabbits live. And a fox just snatches it from the back. It's just natural selection. Wrong place, wrong time. I mean, we're human beings. We're at the top of the food chain, I think. Smart enough to get out the way of things like bears. If you want to go out there and fight with a bear, it's curtains for you. In the case of Darryl Doucette, it's curtains, man. I feel bad for the guy. Yeah, this might have been your life's worth. You ain't getting no gold medal if Patrick Mahomes, and maybe he could be a backup. We'll see. Maybe there will be some type of concessions But let's be honest. You might have helped build this up. Hickey said it. Ain't nobody trying to watch it for you. That's a jerk thing to say, but that's just reality. I'm sorry. This will be the first time I watch flag football, by the way. 2028 Olympics. I hope it'll be better than that breakdancing stuff that we got. Anyway, it's the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. We are going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, we're going to talk to someone who is a former quarterback in the NFL. This man is now a broadcaster, about to be a broadcaster on a Cowboys radio network. His name, Steve Berline. We're going to talk about quite a few things. The Cowboys, his former Panthers. I think I might even get in touch with some of his college roots. We got a lot to talk about. Steve Berline on the other side. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network, coast to coast. Man, you want an education, don't rely on me. Because right now we got a guest on who has played in the NFL. And right now, this upcoming season, he's going to be an analyst. All things Dallas Cowboys for Compass Media Networks. We're being joined by Steve Berline. Steve, thank you for taking the time and joining us.
I am fired up to be a part of the show. Thanks for having me tonight.
No doubt about it. Now, we've done a lot of talk just today, over the past few days, weeks, about quarterbacks and development in the NFL, whether it be a Bo Nix or Caleb Williams, so many incoming rookies and development or a lack thereof. What are your thoughts on the current crop of incoming quarterbacks and the fact that in the year 2024, more recently, quarterbacks get thrown right into the fire?
Yeah, they definitely do, and there's a lot of reasons for that. I think, you know, the real change in overall mentality about that, I think, started with the rookie salary cap. Cam Newton, unfortunately, was the guy that paid the price for that initially, where they tried to kind of control the rookie salaries. And as a result, I think you see a lot more teams taking some flyers on some of these guys, drafting them higher than maybe they would have been drafted, you know, say 15, 20 years ago, because it would have been so much more money committed to it. And they didn't want to take those flyer kind of reaches. Now we're seeing teams willing to do that on a more regular basis. And some of these guys are materializing. And, you know, I don't think anybody would have thought, you mentioned Bo Nix, I don't think anybody would have thought that he would have been a mid first round pick with his physical features, coming out of Oregon, 20 years ago. And now, the Broncos, Sean Payton saw some things in him, I think probably reminded him a little bit of a Drew Brees kind of guy, and said, I think I can work with this guy, and we're going to give him a chance. We're going to take a shot on him, and it's looking so far like it was a pretty good decision. And, you know, some of these other guys, Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams, obviously playing at a very high level through the preseason. Now, let's not kid ourselves. It's very rare that a guy will come in and have the success, say, maybe a C.J. Stroud had last year. There aren't many guys that have ever put together a rookie year like that, and I think that's kind of a pipe dream. But some of these guys are coming in and showing very early that they can pick it up and make it happen and be that guy for the franchise. But to me, it's still really a 50-50 proposition. But this year, I mean, there's several guys that are very exciting, and I'm looking forward to seeing how they develop. And if there's anybody in particular you want to talk about, let me know.
Oh, most definitely. Steve Berline is here with us, the JR Sport Brief Show. Let's go to a team that you are very familiar with. Bryce Young, we saw what took place last year. You mentioned C.J. Stroud. What are your thoughts on what he could or should look like this year under Dave Canales and the fact that, well, we haven't really seen him throw at all or do anything here in the preseason? What do you think?
Well, there's so many different beliefs out there that go around just trying to I think player safety is kind of the motivation, obviously. I always think it's really, I don't want to say wrong, But I think that a young player such as Bryce Young, even though he got a lot of reps last year as a rookie, this is a new head coach. It's a new system. He needs to be out there on the field with his teammates, in my opinion, and getting those reps and game action, kind of earning that respect on the field, in the huddle, all that kind of stuff. They have some new players in that offensive line. They've got some new receivers coming into the mix out there. They need to get those game reps, and I think a lot of teams maybe are overly cautious about that. I mean, heck, you saw Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and, you know, all the guys that just won, have won back-to-back Super Bowls in Kansas City. They were out there for a couple series this past weekend. And, you know, I just think that the reps, you cannot underestimate the value of every single rep, every single decision that a young quarterback gets to experience, whether it's in the preseason or the regular season. It's real game stuff. And I have high expectations for Bryce. I think that, you know, Dave Canales is going to be a really good influence on him. He's had a tremendous track record with quarterbacks that he's worked with. And I think Bryce will be, he'll benefit from that tremendously. And, you know, we'll just see how far he can take it. It's not an overly positive situation there in Carolina right now, as you know. They still have a lot of room to improve, and he needs to get a lot more help around him. But I expect him to take a jump this year for sure.
Yes, Steve Berline here with us. A little bit different of a situation in Atlanta, Georgia, when you take a look at Kirk Cousins and also Michael Penix. Raheem Morris said that we have seen enough. I've seen enough of him in practice. What are your thoughts on their QB situation? You give Kirk Cousins all this money. You draft Penix at 8. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think that to me is an ideal situation for Michael Penix. I think it's a situation kind of like what Patrick Mahomes found himself in, and also maybe go back to Aaron Rodgers. You know, these guys that didn't come in under the gun and have to go out there and play immediately. Even though I think the Atlanta Falcons are a pretty good football team all the way around, if they just get good, you know, consistent quarterback play, they should be able to play with anybody. But Kirk Cousins was brought there for a reason. I think, you know, the Falcons, if they can get 2 years out of Kirk Cousins, I think they would consider that an absolutely perfect scenario, because that means he's playing well, he's staying healthy, the team is competitive, and Michael Penix is getting some time to really learn how to play the position, get himself comfortable in the NFL without being thrown out there to the wolves trying to figure it out on the move. So I think it's an ideal situation for him. It all depends on whether Kirk Cousins stays healthy and whether he performs at a high level, and we'll see how that shapes itself out as well.
In the case of the Steelers, they're trying to get something this year out of either Justin Fields or Russell Wilson. What do you think that situation will look like? Typically, they say, hey, and you've experienced this, whether it be with the Cowboys. A lot of times they say if you got two quarterbacks, you have none. What do you think about the Steelers?
Well, I'm really bullish on Justin Fields. I'm not afraid to say it. I think that even though it's been a little bit shaky, you know, the first couple weeks here in the preseason with Fields and, you know, his inconsistency and his, ball security issues and things like that, I'm not worried. I really think that this is going to be a great situation for him. You know, I believe, I have a lot of respect for Russell Wilson as well, but I believe his best days are behind him. And I felt when Pittsburgh made the move for Justin Fields, it may not be week one, but it's going to be, I think, in the first quarter of the season, they're going to make that move to Justin Fields because of the upside potential. And I think he's in a situation where he learned a lot in Chicago. He needed a new start, a new fresh opportunity to get out there and reestablish himself. And I think he's got the ability to do it. I've seen him do it on a more than one, on a multiple time basis. I've seen enough to be really excited about what he can do. And I just believe he's going to be in a great situation that's going to work itself out for him.
A 17-year NFL vet, Steve Berline, is joining us here at the JR Sport Brief Show. Russell Wilson's certainly been on the receiving end of some tough love over the past few seasons. We heard the comments from Tua Tagovailoa about Brian Flores. It's 2024. There's different ways to, quote-unquote, skin a cat. in relation to when you played in the 80s into the 90s, do you think the approach needs to change? Are the athletes a little too rabbit-eary? Are they a little too soft and sensitive as to how they're coached and handled?
Well, first off, I did play into the 2000s, too. So I'm not.
Yes,
I did get out of the 90s, just barely into the 2000s. So, you know, I'm not that far out of touch. But I do think that there is a huge difference in how players need to be coached today versus what we dealt with on a regular basis back in the day. And that's just, you know, I don't want to use the word evolution, but I can't think of a better word. You know, the money involved and the different things that young people are exposed to now with all the technology and how the game has changed from a safety perspective. The hitting is different now. And then just the overall, just the I think you nailed it, the sensitivities maybe mentally and emotionally, you know, if someone maybe questioning them whether or not they can do it, or somebody challenging them, you know, with all the stuff going on in college now and high school with the transferring around everywhere, if things don't go well for you. I think players in general across the board maybe aren't as thick-skinned and as tough as they used to be. That doesn't mean that they're not tough enough to get it done, because we see examples of guys stepping up every single year that can find a way to fight through it, that can battle and can show they can, you know, hold up under fire like that. But I do think across the board it's a much more challenging environment for coaches, because you got to be really sensitive to how these players are going to receive constructive criticism and even tough love sometimes.
Well, Steve, you talk about the development even from younger years. I mean, what are your thoughts on how the college system has changed? Very different from when you had Notre Dame and Independent, obviously now still one of the best teams in the country, but the landscape has changed. I mean, conferences has changed. We have players going in and out of portals. We have coaches in and out of teams. What are your thoughts on how the college system has developed?
Well, I'm really, really concerned about the state of affairs in college football right now. And, you know, when the whole NIL thing happened and the transfer portal and all these things started going down, I thought it was a Pandora's box kind of situation. And I think I'm pretty right, pretty accurate on that. And I think we're just starting to really see dramatic effect of this, you know, and how it's going to affect some of these people long term. You know, it's just completely thrown the college football world upside down. I do think that there's a desperate need for some sort of regulation in terms of the money being paid to these guys from a NIL perspective, but also, you know, some kind of control over the transfer portal, because, you know, it's literally free agency now in college football. And I don't think that's good for the long term health of college football overall. I think it's going to be just a continuation of things getting to the point where it's not feasible for this to continue on at the pace it's going now. There has to be more regulation, and I hope they can find a way to get that done.
In the long, or maybe I should say short term, for a school like Notre Dame, which operates as an independent outside of the conferences, do you think that this is an advantage or disadvantage to them as the landscape has kind of been blown to shreds?
Well, I think it depends on how you look at it. And, you know, I have high expectations for Notre Dame this year. They've benefited, I think, from the transfer portal, some of the graduate-level quarterbacks they brought in with Sam Hartman last year, and even before him, Jack Cohn, who, you know, was just more of a serviceable guy. But Sam Hartman last year, and then this year with Riley Leonard coming in, I think he's a legitimate NFL prospect. Dual threat guy that's going to elevate them along with a really good defense coming back and a lot of skilled players that have come in as well through the transfer portal. I think Notre Dame is going to be right up there, and it's as excited as I've been about a season for Notre Dame in a long time. As important, I think, to Notre Dame, bringing in Mike Dimbrock from LSU, stealing him from Brian Kelly down there was a double whammy. And all of us Notre Dame fans love the fact that we got to ticket to Brian Kelly by taking his offensive coordinator. And I think Notre Dame is going to benefit from that tremendously. And I think Marcus Freeman will, too, having that kind of experience to go along with Al Golden, the defensive coordinator on his staff. I think that'll be two really helpful, experienced coordinators that can help him manage a game and really get this team to the level it needs to be at. So I'm excited for them.
And Steve Berline is joining us here at the JR Sport Brief Show. Something for you to be excited about? I mean, you won a championship with the Cowboys, and earlier today we learned that you're going to be the national radio color analyst via Compass Media Network. So congratulations to you on that. What do you expect from the Cowboys this season? And are we going to see a couple of contracts get done? What do you think?
Well, I think if Jerry Jones wants to be able to walk around and show his face around Dallas anywhere, he better get both of those guys signed, at least for sure, CeeDee Lamb. Going into the season, I'm pretty confident they're going to get that done. I think everybody agrees that that's a no-brainer. He doesn't need the reps during preseason, and he'll be ready to hit the ground running. I'm sure he's taking care of himself. Dak Prescott, that's another thing. That's another issue, and it's going to be really interesting to see how that plays itself out. It's a huge commitment. I think the reason that there's hesitation is because they've paid Dak Prescott an awful lot of money over the last 5 or 6 years, and they don't have a whole lot to show for it. And even though everybody agrees he's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, he hasn't, been able to get them where they should have gone, in their opinion. So it's a tough situation. I can see both sides of it, but I think in the end, the Cowboys are going to step up and get that contract done. They don't want to have to try to find somebody to play at the level that Dak has proven he can play it on a regular basis. So I think they'll get that done as well.
Well, Steve, having played in the league and being a quarterback, you certainly see the game very differently than myself and a lot of listeners. To see someone play like an MVP throughout the course of the season and then have a 2-5 playoff record, granted it's a team game, but why do you think that is specifically when it comes to Dak? Kirk Cousins is in a similar situation. These guys are amazing. Do they dial it back a little bit and play a little too careful? And why do you think Dak hasn't had that success?
Well, you made a brilliant observation right there. I put those two guys, Kirk Cousins and Dak Prescott, in the same category as guys that have, proven they can put the numbers up on a consistent basis. They can, make all the throws, make all the plays, light up a scoreboard. But they've both had really, really concerning difficulty winning the big games, and specifically winning playoff games. And in some cases, winning the games you need to win in order to get into the playoffs. So I think they're both very similar. They both have that. They're going to have that monkey on their back until they show they can make a deep run into the playoffs one of these years. Now, Dak's got a little more time left than Kirk Cousins does, but both of those guys, I think, feel that pressure and have to find a way to get it done, no doubt about it.
Well, thank you so much, Steve, and congrats again on the new gig covering the Cowboys on the radio. Where can people follow you and all your work and listen to you?
Well, I'm at steveberline.com on X now, and I think I'm Steve Berline 007 on Instagram. I'm not overly active on the social media part, but I try to stay relevant a little bit. And then, of course, as you said, on Compass Media Networks, we're going to be doing the Cowboys every week. So that'll be a pretty good, consistent way to find me out there for sure.
Hey, Steve, we appreciate you coming through and sharing your expertise, man. Thank you so much, and enjoy the Cowboys. We know they're going to keep things interesting.
Well, we're hoping it's going to be a fun year, and it'd be more fun if they're winning, for sure.
Yeah, we know that. It'll keep you busy all either way. Hey, Steve, take it easy. Thank you.
Take care. Thanks. Bye.
No doubt about it. That's Steve Berline, former Dallas Cowboy, former Carolina Panther, 17-year NFL vet, also coming out of Notre Dame, and now he's going to be calling the Dallas Cowboy games via the Compass Media Network. Thank you so much to Steve Berline. Has some interesting things to say about college aspect, NFL, QBs. Thank you, Steve Berline. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. Mike Gundy had some words to say about NIL. We'll get into that as well.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Hey, thank you so much to Steve Berline. former NFL quarterback, 17 years in the league, about to be a color analyst for the Dallas Cowboys across the country on the Compass Media Network. Thank you. He had some good insights. Thank you, Steve, for coming through. Iggy, he was really dropping some knowledge, man. He's going to be good, man. He's going to be good.
Look, I don't care what Tom Brady says. I know he wasn't talking about his generation. You can't be a dummy and play quarterback. That's for sure.
Correct. You can't. You can't. Well, Tom Brady said that these guys were being babied. And Steve kind of made his own point. He's just like, yeah, this is a different era. The players, they need to be treated differently. Some of them might be a little bit more sensitive. One thing that he really did say, he got into Bryce Young, and he said that Bryce is he needs to be out there. Needs to be out there playing. And in that aspect, I get it. I know we had this whole conversation about Penix Jr., and we talked about that with Steve. So if you missed any of the conversation with Steve Berline, I encourage you, go ahead and hit rewind on the free Odyssey app, A-U-D-A-C-Y, because he was out here dropping a lot of knowledge, including saying, and jokingly, a joking manner, said that if Jerry Jones wants to walk around the Metroplex, he needs to get these contracts done with CeeDee Lamb and also with Dak Prescott, we felt was CeeDee's a little bit more of a certainty. And with Dak, hey, you got to look at the results. He can get the job done in the regular season, but the postseason, he has certainly had some trouble. So thank you again to Steve Berline for joining us in the last break. You know, speaking of owners, I want to get this out of here and then talk with you all about some of the interesting comments. I guess every comment out of Mike Gundy's mouth is interesting. He's sick of NIL, and we'll get into that on the other side of the break. Hickey, did you hear? Well, we've heard this earlier the year, right after they won the championship. Like, there's a portion of the Celtics that are for sale. How much money you got? You got like $6-7 billion lying around?
I have $6 or $7.
Ah, okay.
Is that enough?
Well, that'll get you what? Like, can you get that? Can you spend $6 on like a streetcar in New York? Or you can't even afford that with $6.
You can get like a pack of gum.
Oh my!
Pack of gum and probably like a medium coffee would be my guess for $6.
So, I don't chew gum. I stopped a very, 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 very long time ago. How much is a pack of gum?
$3.
Oh my God. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, depending on which ones you want.
A pack of gum is $3?
Yeah.
A pack of gum is $3? That's pretty ridiculous. Nowadays, I don't know about all of that. That's kind of crazy. Well, maybe that's why I quit. Maybe that's why I stopped.
Smart man saving all that money. Maybe you're the one who could buy the Celtics now with all that gum money you saved.
So look, the NBA is trying to sell this team for $6 billion right now. Bill Simmons said that there is one guy in particular who is looking to buy the Celtics. This is what Bill Simmons had to say on the ring.
The Celtics are for sale. And in the last few days, there's been some, I think, legitimate buzz about Jeff Bezos buying the Celtics. And I think it's real. I think he's going to be one of the suitors. I happen to have a bunch of information on this. The league wants $6 billion for the team, for the Celtics. $6 billion. It's a crazy price, but they're probably going to get it. They want the $6 billion because they want expansion teams in Seattle and Vegas. And then Mexico City is kind of looming as a third team, but they want to get $6 billion apiece for the two franchises for expansion, which would mean a check of $400 million to every NBA owner, all 30. Which got me thinking, why would Jeff Bezos, when he's looking at the Celtics, what is he seeing? What does he want? Is the play for him some sort of Amazon stadium? Is the ultimate play for this to build some sort of state-of-the-art stadium that's never been done before for concerts and for basketball, and it's like the Amazon Dome, and then that just becomes another thing he did? But it's all connected with what they want from the expansion teams. This $6 billion price, they want to get to that price and above. That's what Irv Grossbach, the guy, the 90-year-old guy who owns the biggest stake of the Celtics, who started this process, he wants the biggest price.
Well, I think anybody wants the biggest price if you're selling something, right? I mean, the Brooklyn Nets, they pretty much have a valuation of about $6 billion. It's just what it is. And Hickey, I don't think Jeff Bezos would have an issue buying the Celtics because his net worth is about $200 billion. So just he could buy a lot of gum. Let's put it that way. $3 for gum. Okay. Why would he want the team besides having a toy? Like, there's nothing else. And I'm sure the NBA would be thrilled. Like, Jeff Bezos, if I remember correctly, he tried to buy the Washington Commanders. It would not shock me if he didn't get his hands on the Celtics, if he helped buy, you know, one of these expansion teams, maybe out in Seattle if we get the Supersonics back. Like, Jeff Bezos is ultimately going to own something. It's inevitable. I mean, Amazon, I think, employs... Hickey, I think Amazon and Walmart, I think they employ more people in America than anything else.
That sounds right. I mean, there's a reason why those Amazon deliveries are next day for most of them.
Yeah, we got a million people. Hey, listen, there's people driving Amazon trucks right now. Make sure Jeff Bezos gives you what you deserve. Shake that man down. He got a net worth of $200 billion. He could buy all of the NBA teams. Hickey, he should start his own league. He should.
Now that's something.
How about
good
that?
Good idea.
Yeah, wild stuff. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. I mean, the guy, he bought the NFL rights. We'll get into this more. Don't move.